episode 166 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Laura, and Sandy. The Riviera Maya is a resort district along the Caribbean coast of the Yucatan Peninsula, just south of Cancun's hotel zone, starting just north of Playa del Carmen and extending south toward Tulum. This area is famous for all-inclusive resorts, aquatic activities involving everything from dolphins to underground rivers and to camels. Yes, camels. And of course, for those interested in ancient history, this area boasts some of the most famous Mayan ruins north of the equator. Earlier this year, in episode 132, we talked to Sandy about her familiarization trip with Charisma Resorts to this beautiful destination. Recently, Elizabeth was able to participate in a similar trip, and she experienced some of the same things, but also some very different things while there. So we thought we would talk to her about what she learned and can now recommend for this area, and especially for this family resorts. So let's get started. So Elizabeth, where did you stay?
So I actually stayed in the same resort that Sandy did when she took the fam trip at the El Dorado Royale, which is part of a 3-resort complex. It's an adult-only resort, and it is connected to the El Dorado Casitos and then the, I think it's actually the El Dorado Royale Casitos, I think. But anyway, and then Generations, Riviera Maya. Generations is a family resort. But all three of those share privileges with each other. And if you're feeling physically fit and up to it, you can walk, but they run shuttles between the three. I mean, they're three big. Did you really?
Yeah,
we totally golf carted it.
We walked down to Generations to hang out at the beach there.
So if you're Sandy, you can walk.
If you're Sandy, you can
yes,
walk.
I enjoyed my golf cart ride. Yeah. So, and that actually there, the commute from the airport, it's sort of of all the Charisma properties, that little bunch is the one that's sort of in the middle. So there are some further south, which means further away from the airport, and then some further north, so a little bit closer. But these are sort of sitting right in the middle.
Another thing we should mention is they've broken ground on the new Nickelodeon resort.
Yes, right there at that same
area. And that's a really good stretch of beach because there's nothing north of it. I guess it's north, right? It's not technically a private beach, but there's nothing else there, you know, so it's pretty cool. Did you go into the saltwater pool?
I did not. In the spa, you mean?
Or? No. In front of Casitas, there was like, kind of between Casitas and Royale, there was like this
the
natural
health.
Water
yeah.
pool. Yeah, it was cool.
I didn't do that. No.
Nope. So what did you do with camels?
So I didn't, but I wrote the show notes and I mentioned the camels because I seriously want to ride the camels. And most people ride, you know, we talked to my sister a few weeks ago she was in Oman and she talked about camels. I don't know why it's so difficult in my life. It's like seeing alligators. I can't seem to ride camels. So my intention at El Dorado Maroma, there's the Maroma Adventures, facility is right next, is, you know, adjoined to it. It's practically part of it. And they have camels that you can ride on the beach. So it isn't technically an aquatic adventure, which is what I lumped it in here, but you're near water. But you can actually ride camels, which I think is so cool. And I thought, oh, you can ride camels in Mexico. And then recently I went to Cabo and there was camel riding there, but that excursion sold out. So I have yet to ride the stupid camels.
won the camel ride.
I know. I couldn't ride the camels on this particular trip to Cancun because it rained the day that I had a free day for an excursion.
Do you know you can do that in Florida?
As much as I, yes, I know. So I have yet to ride camels, but you can. That is an option.
So
and that company is owned by the city.
How do the camels get to Mexico?
They swim. They're really tired.
I think at this point, maybe they were born there because my grandmother has a picture of her on a camel, and I always, all my life, thought that she went to Egypt or something. And I was like, Grandma, what about the time y'all went to Egypt? She's like, I don't know. We never went to Egypt. And I'm like, well, what's this camel? And she's like, oh, that was in Cancun. I'm like, oh. All right. So, yeah, they've been there a while.
You still think, oh, I'm going to go to Mexico and see camels walking through the tequila fields.
Yeah.
Surprised what got brought over on boats.
Yeah.
It's like how many species have ended up.
Exactly. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were brought over with the thought that they would work well in sand and, you know, but.
I always kind of felt like I worried that it was not very humane or whatever. But when Lindsay and I went to Safari Wilderness in Central Florida, they love their animals there. There is no question that mm-hmm. they're treating their animals right. And they talked a lot about how those camels love to work, and that really changed my perspective. Same with the Iditarod dogs.
Yeah, the dog sledding. Yeah.
It's changed my perspective of it. So
just because you don't want to pull a sled doesn't mean the dogs
don't doesn't mean they don't like to work.
Doesn't mean they don't like it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But my husband was in Iraq. Every time I talked to him, I would be like, "Did you see any camels?" he took pictures. He ended up coming the military store had like a stuffed camel, and he brought him when he finally came home. He brought him this giant stuffed camel for me.
This is probably the most airtime we've given to something that I didn't do. I was like, and I didn't ride the camels. Let's talk about it.
But we can set it up for you if you want to ride the camels and you want to make sure they're not sold out.
It's just rubbing the salt in the wound. I will ride camels one day, dang it.
You know, it's just like one of those things I feel like, if I was on the beaches of Mexico and I saw a camel coming down the beach, I wouldn't think someone put something in my drink.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm having a hard time putting those images together.
Well, it definitely is not a situation where it's like the lone horseback rider, cantering along the beach. It's a whole line of camels that are obviously, you know, carting tourists around. But it is kind of a cool thing.
And they can bite, and they stink.
Yeah.
So they can, I don't think you're,
no. Triple threat.
Oh, Sandy, you know you would have got bit had you walked up to the fence.
I was kissing that camel. What are you talking about?
No, he was like charging.
Well, and the funny thing about this little camel fantasy of mine is that I don't even, like, horses scare me. When you get up to them, they're much bigger than you think they are.
Yeah.
So I get up to them and I have a lot of respect for these animals. They're so muscular and strong. And mm-hmm. I look at these horses and I'm like, I don't know if I should get up on this horse. So, you know, I'm going to walk up to a camel, which is like twice as tall. And I'm going to be like,
so you know, they're bigger. Right?
I know, like, this might be a bad idea, but I really want to try it. So, I mean, I've been on a horse before, so I'm not very good at it, but I did not do that. And I will say this trip, you know, is sort of the epitome of a business trip, because even though I added a couple of nights on at the end to vacate, it ended up raining the whole time. So I really didn't get to do anything except for relax, which was not a bad thing, but it means that I didn't get to experience any sort of activity. So.
But you got to eat things and drink things, right?
You got to do the culinary theater. That's awesome. I didn't get to do that.
I did. So
talk about that.
Yeah. At El Dorado Royale, they have this really unique experience. And I say that as a foodie who's done lots of things. I mean, I've been in at chef's tables, and I've been in teaching kitchens and things like this. This is actually some sort of weird combination of that. They have a chef and an announcer guy come out, and the chef is just as charismatic as the announcer guy is. And he prepares your whole meal in front of you, although the chefs are in the back working and actually preparing them. So it's a theater, flat theater, dinner table. So kind of think of dinner theater, but with the stage. Instead of dinner theater, usually surrounds the stage. In this case, you're more in a semicircle. The stage is a little bit more of a proscenium, but they have huge screens above the cooking area and then off to the sides as well. So kind of like a rock concert as well. And they come out and prepare, I want to say it was like a 5-course. I don't have my menus in front of me, which is bad planning on my part, so I apologize. But a 5-course meal, and they do upsell you, encourage you to get the wine package, which I want to say is about $75, which I totally did. So you get a different wine with each course. And it was very Charisma Resorts, as Sandy talked about back in that previous episode, is very farm to table. So much so that they're not going to the farm to get their food. They're growing it in a greenhouse on the property of El Dorado Royale. So a lot of their food is actually being grown you know, on property. And so everything we had was sort of a, some sort of take on either a Mexican dish or, sometimes deconstructed, you know, street foods, things like that. And they would, they give you the history of the food. Like, why is this significant to Mexico, to this area, to whatever. And then we'd talk about some of the particular ingredients in the food. Lots of, so much avocado. Oh, it was so lovely. But,
Was the guy doing it from California? The
announcer guy?
Yeah.
He might have been. He definitely had a pretty strong American accent.
We had somebody come to one of our training sessions, and they made guacamole for us, and he like talked about it the whole time. And I think he was the head chef at the Culinary Theater, but he was from Southern California.
Oh, well,
he talked about like all these different kind of avocados that he loved, and I had no idea there were so many kinds of avocados.
Yeah,
I just thought there was like not quite ripe
and past ripe.
Yeah,
The chef himself was actually from Mexico. The guy who was actually preparing the food, and he did a lot of the talking. The announcer guy was more. He was a little bit more of an MC. He was almost like the guy on Iron Chef who comes up and says, "So, chef, why are you using the steam thingy here? What are you thinking you're going to do with this?" He was sort of, you know, playing that role. But they also, they would prepare one course and then it'd be served. And then while you're eating, they stop talking and they come out and, you know, how's your food? And you can ask them questions and everything. And the both of them are coming out and like walking around. So it was really, and we were way in the back and they still came and talked to us. So they get around. Mm-hmm. I guess, but it was about a three, almost 4 hour experience. Yeah. The last wine was actually a tequila. So I discovered a new tequila. It's a Crema tequila that it was new to me. Everybody that I know is like, yeah, I've had it before. Actually, I have some of it that we should have had some with our podcast today. Oh, well, but
it's, not too late.
It's more like, it's like a sipping tequila and it's very similar to Bailey's. And in fact, one of the other travel agents in my group said that he's been known to put it in his coffee in the morning. I haven't tried it yet, but I bet it's actually pretty tasty. Mm-hmm. So I experienced lots of different foods and, you know, this was obviously a hosted trip where they're showing us the resorts. So I was sitting with somebody who works with Charisma Resorts and he was saying like we were eating one particular dish and you could just see his face light up because this is like a dish of where he came from, where his hometown. He's like, if you ever come to, you know, my hometown, you'll have it this way. And like he would tell you all this stuff. So definitely food that Mexicans relate to and are very excited about. And as a foodie, it was definitely a unique experience. It was some sort of weird combination of all of those experiences I've had, like the food and wine festival, teaching kitchens, along with a chef's table, along with a little bit of theater as well. So, and it's a special event and you do pay extra for it. And it only happens at El Dorado Royale. That's the only place where they have the theater.
Isn't it not? I thought that there wasn't a charge unless there was a special chef.
You could be right. Maybe it's just the upcharge for the wine.
And I feel like they have like celebrity type chefs maybe once a month. And I know they do like the Canadian Beef Week and they do like
the Kendall Jackson. Yeah, the wine.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that they have that goes on. And I would definitely say even if there's a charge, you probably want to do it.
Yeah.
Yes. But I do think, I feel like that it's not always a charge.
I will say it's one of the only things there that requires a reservation. So, it's only certain nights. It is a special event. And you can come over from other Charisma resorts to experience this. And it's a trip worth taking. I mean, even if you're one of the ones that's like 20, 30 minutes away, it's worth it because it's a 3 or 4 hour experience. So your time will not be wasted. It's worth the drive out. And I want to say it started at like 6 or 6:30 and it was close to 10 by the time we were sort of bundling back to the rooms.
There's another one, at one of the Azul resorts. I think it's Azul Sensatori.
Are you talking about the five? Le Chic? Yeah.
Yeah. So that one, and one of the perks for staying on property is that the 24 course meal. I just quoted this for somebody, so this is fresh in my mind. But the 24 course meal is included if you stay there, although the wine pairing is like $75 more. And I feel like it's like $100 a person if you're staying at one of the other resorts.
I'm actually think it's $125 because I seem to remember it's about what I paid to go to Victoria and Albert's the first time I went. So, and you can reserve dinner at Le Chic even if you're not staying at a Charisma resort, if you want to experience that restaurant.
So it's the only 5-star.
5 diamond.
AAA, 5 diamond, yeah, rated restaurant in Mexico, right?
I think on the Yucatan Peninsula. Yeah.
Anyway, it's like really good for foodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked amazing, and it was like 24 courses. Oh my God, you know, but it's like 24 tasting portions of, you know, you don't even ask. You just take it.
You know? And I will say while we're talking about food, I mean, at every resort that we toured, so I was touring resorts for about 3 days, and we had for lunch and dinner a 4-course meal for each. Now they're pulling out the stops for us and, you know, giving us some of the best. But so we ate, even in one of the buffet restaurants, they served us plated, you know, versions, really. And honestly, like they said, we're going to give you salmon, and I'm expecting like a little, maybe 3-inch portion of salmon. No, it was like a whole side of salmon. It was a lot of meat. Mm-hmm. We also enjoyed a dinner. You know, they'll do special dinners for weddings or whatever. They can do dinners everywhere. And so out on a pier at El Dorado Maroma, or was that at Seaside Suites? It was at Seaside Suites, but at the other side, the part that used to be Sensomar. This pier, and they had a table set up with wedding decorations for us and a live musician who literally, he's playing guitar and singing. He did not stop the entire dinner. He just played all the way through. He was amazing. It was fantastic. Yeah. And the menu was on our table, and it can all be customized. So if you're thinking about having a wedding, a destination wedding, or an anniversary party, or a vow renewal, or really anything, you can arrange these special meals, and it's the same quality, high quality food that they serve in the restaurants brought out to wherever the heck you happen to be.
There was a wedding. One of our dinners, we had half the restaurant and there was a wedding in the other half. Mm. It was so cool. I always cry at weddings.
Even when I don't know them.
Even when it's a total stranger.
Remember seeing the video that you posted of that when you were out there on the pier, and that, you know, it's like, maybe I'm more visual than I know, but it's like just that makes you want to go there. It's
yes.
Like, I want to eat dinner right there.
Yeah.
At that setting, you know, with the, you know, it's, I love the outdoors anyhow, but it's like the breeze is blowing and the ocean in front of you, and you're not in the sand. You know, you're up on this beautiful kind of wooden structure. They have these pretty lights down the side. The table was set very pretty, and yet people were not, you didn't have to be dressed in like, you know, heels and, you know, maybe you weren't dressed in their t-shirt and shorts.
Right.
It was like, you know, people were dressed in nice sundresses and you know, a nice shirt. And it's like, I want to be there. Mm-hmm. I can see myself there, you know, with the person I love or with a family, or you're celebrating a, you know, an anniversary or something like that, you know, that would be really special.
And it's true, because we're only doing the spoken word here. We don't have pictures or anything. One thing that I always thought when I saw videos of a couple having a candlelit dinner by the beach is, yeah, that's a picture, but when you actually get out there, there's probably sand blowing in your face and you're having to hold the tablecloth down, you know, because I guess I'm just used to really windy beaches, but, you know, I suppose that's the problem. So yeah, it's really nice. The weather is nice. You're not swatting away mosquitoes. It's really, really pleasant. And, I will say it gets dark and then you can't see the water or anything. And sort of, you lose it to a certain degree, but you still have the smells and the breeze blowing and all those things that tell you that you're still outside.
I think the beach is better at night.
Terribly beautiful, but beautiful and romantic. And I was enjoying it with a whole bunch of travel agents.
So speaking of weddings, another thing that they have that I think is so cool is that Casitas, they have a special bridal suites at the spa, and you can like rent out that whole suite for your bridal party. And that's where you would get ready for your wedding and stuff, which I think is so cool. It's really,
and they actually have them at most of their resorts. We saw them in almost every resort.
They have a special one at Casitas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Larger one. Yeah.
And then the cool thing too is with Generations on the End, if you have family that, has children, but you want to stay, like, if it were my wedding, I'd stay at Casitas because that was really nice. Mm-hmm. but you know, you can kind of like, they still are, they are with you. They just don't, you know, I guess they would bring the children just for the wedding and then take them back. I don't know. There is a chapel though, at Generations.
Yeah. So, I think actually you have to have the wedding at Generations.
Maybe
the kids cannot come over. So you have to have the wedding at Generations, but then
there is a chapel over there. So
yeah.
So let's let's be a little more clear about where these resorts are.
Okay.
Maybe, and like the difference. So El Dorado, so you can get to, from El Dorado Royale, it's easy to go
to Casitas and Generations.
Casitas.
They're all on the Generations. Same, yes, they're all on the same little stretch of beach. And soon Nickelodeon.
Yeah, Nickelodeon will be on there.
Soon Nickelodeon. And then how far away is El Dorado Maroma?
About 40 minutes, maybe?
Is it that far?
Maybe not that far. I don't know.
That's the one I was like, please don't ask about Maroma next because I need to Google it. I want to say, actually, Maroma, I don't think Maroma is the furthest south. Seaside Suites is.
Okay.
So, probably about 25 minutes.
So, Maroma, though, is the one that has Maroma Adventures beside it.
Camels.
Maroma is my favorite. I love that resort. That one is the one that, the first time I went to Cancun, and we toured that resort last, I was like, oh my God. Because, you know, I come from... my first job after staying home with my kids for 10 years was working at a solar company. So I'm all about like the sustainability and that resort to me epitomizes. I mean, they have it in all the resorts, but that one is so cool. I just think it's, and at that one, they've just opened the largest spa in any of their resorts. So, and it's got over the water bungalows. Huh?
Which one is that?
Maroma. El Dorado Maroma, yeah. And it's right next door to the Maroma Adventures, so there's all the activities. And what activity did you guys do?
We didn't.
Oh, that sucks.
We actually had that's what I'm saying. We did zero. We had a tour of Cancun, which was really a bus tour that was just a drive through Cancun, the hotel zone of Cancun. Okay. So, although I appreciated it and it was interesting to go back because I haven't been there for a couple of years, but I was like, oh yeah. I mean, with the exception of a couple of hotels that have changed names because that's always happening.
Yeah.
It was pretty much, I think they were really taking us there with the hope of going shopping, but we were so far behind that none of us wanted to go shopping. We were trying to get back to meetings with our reps, which we didn't end up having. And then we had dinner that night. So it was sort of a rushed sort of, hey kids, look, Big Ben, Parliament.
That's an interesting excursion too. I mean, yeah.
So, but at Maroma Adventures, there's swimming with dolphins. No, it's not just camels. They're swimming with dolphins. There's ATVs and
speedboats.
That's what you did, right? The speedboats.
I did speedboats the first time and ATVs. And the time I was there for Charisma, I did the snorkeling, which was phenomenal. Although a fish pooped right in front of my face and I was like, okay, I'm ready to get out of this water.
If somebody wanted to do it all, they want to ride the camels and they want to go to the dinner theater at Royale and then they want to go to this fabulous 24-course meal. Mm-hmm. Is that a realistic expectation in 1 week?
Yeah,
in 1 week, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the cool thing is Charisma has this partnership kind of with Lomas, which is a destination management company that will... they'll be who picks you up at the airport and takes you, and they have their reps in the lobby too. So you can pre-book your excursions through us, and then they're in the lobby waiting for you to help set it up. And if you want to change the day or something like that, you can. But Lomas Travel owns Maroma Adventure. So it's all kind of connected in this really cool way, and it makes it really seamless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yep. Yeah. But I would say that you probably do want, especially for those three activities, you want to allow a week just because most of them will take you a full chunk of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that you can't eat that 24 course meal and then,
don't get on a camel.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the way it's going to happen. So I don't recommend that. And I didn't ride the camel, but I'm pretty sure. But there is some distance between those resorts. I mean, so it sort of depends. I would definitely stay in El Dorado, Royale, Casitas, or Generations, depending on, you know, whether you have children, if you want to do all of those things, because it's the more central of them. You could stay just at Maroma if you're going to do the camels.
If you want to be in an over-the-water
bungalow. So there are reasons to do it. And that's the thing. Each one of them is very, very different. And hearing Sandy go on and on about Maroma, I love the over-water bungalows, but Maroma was not my favorite. I think everyone has their thing.
Did they take you in that one bar though that's like self-serve? Did you see that?
No.
Okay. So they have this bar that they pretty much, it's pretty much like if you were there with a group of friends, maybe a few couples, and you just want to pour your own drinks. You just want to hang out in this like living room looking area. You want whatever you want on TV. You want to just be pouring your own drinks. You can do that. I think that's so cool. I can see myself there with certain people. And then they have this other, kind of a, it's not a house. It's like a, well, kind of like a house, but not really. It's right beside that, but it's, I think it's like 4 bedrooms maybe. And you can rent that whole thing. And when you rent that whole thing with however many couples you want to share it with, you get a private chef there too. But mm-hmm. you still have access to the restaurants that mm-hmm. are fabulous on the resort, you know? And so I love that resort. I could totally see myself just chilling there.
Well, I'm not saying I wouldn't stay there, but...
I think we should do it. I think we should get a couple couples together.
And one thing that I noticed about Charisma Resorts, which is unusual from what I've seen with all-inclusives, is a lot of the swim-up rooms actually are at the main pool. So you can swim from your room to the pool bar. To the...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is awesome to me.
Can you lock your room from the outside from that door? Or do you have to leave your room unlocked when you come out?
You would have to leave your room unlocked, but you're not going to be very far from it. Because those pools are not huge. I mean, they're not like spread out. Because you're... I know in some resorts you'll have swim out suites and they'll sort of go along the... Now, there are like generations. The swim outs are all along every balcony, you know, all the way down the building. That there's no bar there. So you're not going to swim very far from your room.
Yeah, you're
yeah, you just sort of stay close to where you are. But where, if you do get a swim out that connects to the pool bar, then you're, there's probably only, I mean, like Casitas only has like 12 maybe that dump into that.
So Casitas has like these, it's almost like a neighborhood, right? So it's like a horseshoe. If you can imagine a horseshoe where all the rooms are. And then the bottom floor is like this river of room of swim out suites. But then in the center, there's a pool bar mm-hmm. and a pool, there's a pool with its own pool bar. But really the only people that could be in there are the ones staying in that one little kind of cul-de-sac. So your pool is not going to be crowded. You know, it's not going to be, they have enough, bally beds on the beach for everybody. You don't have to worry yep. about getting down there first thing.
They're all first come, first serve. There's not,
but you can get yeah. them, you know, you can get one. So, yeah, it's really mm-hmm. nice. Did you do any nightlife?
What was your favorite, Elizabeth?
So I think it depends on what I'm there for. The casitas I think are the most romantic. They're these beautiful, mm-hmm. like little rendezvous suites. And there's, you know, you can have a swim out that doesn't go to the pool bar. That's actually on the second floor. You can have a swim out that goes to the pool bar. There are some that are like on the sides that are more private. And it's really interesting because it looks like it's very public, but then you have these screens for privacy. You have a porch where you can sit out and eat. And actually, if you're at the swim up ones, the pool bar attendants will come up to your porch and get a drink for you.
Did
so
you get to go into this? We didn't get to see a room.
I did get to go into the casitas. Yeah. There's pictures on my page. So, yeah, I liked the casitas for romance. El Dorado is fun. Royale is fun for a group. You know,
that's
couples
where I
or
felt like there was more nightlife-y stuff.
Yeah. So I would say I did like Generations a lot, but I actually liked the Azul resorts or the other family resorts. So Generations is a family resort and it's considered their top of the line family resort. There's butlers on every floor. It's not butlers like Sandals where they, you know, come into your room and but they will come into your room, but they aren't really like catering to you. They offer butler services, but more to on a floor. So they have stations.
Like the ratio is not
yeah. The ratio is not quite as intimate, but they'll still draw a bubble bath for you with rose petals and stuff like that. So, it's just not quite as high touch. I did like Generations. That's one of the buildings that has swim up suites all along the, you know, you basically have an infinity pool out your back door. But the Azul resorts at Beach and Sensatori were actually two of my favorites. I liked Azul Beach a little bit better and then Sensatori for Lachique. Smaller family resorts, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were present. I mean, it's definitely kid friendly, but really pretty smaller resorts. I really liked them. Azul Fives is also very nice, but a lot bigger. There are monkeys on property, which is a plus for some people, but I have this terrible fear of monkeys. So, not so cool for me. And actually Azul Fives almost has like a neighborhood. Like it almost feels like you're walking down Fifth Avenue in Playa del Carmen, like this sort of live vibe.
Right. Yeah, where the restaurants are. Yeah. And another thing to know about Fives is that there's no oceanfront.
Right.
So you have to walk or cart to the beach. Which is fine if you know about that, you know, and you're cool. But
or if you're like me, where I'm not really a beach person.
Yeah, I mean, you can just stay in the pool. But yeah, like it is kind of a walk to get there. Because you have to go, the monkeys are there because of the cenote in the center. And it's kind of like this real lush, jungly looking area. And I think we saw, I feel like there were other animals in there too. Maybe like a pig or something?
Yes, there are boars. Yes, there are. And I think Azul Fives was the one that had the really cool, like, Zorro-like tequila bar in it. Like, you walked in it, it sounded like, you would think you would hear, like, from, like, the good, the bad, and the ugly or whatever. And tumbleweeds would go by. But, yeah, it was very, it looked like a Zorro movie set. But, so yeah, they all had some interesting bars. They all have some sort of tequila bar, but also just, you know, some interesting nightlife. I did stay at Seaside Suites, which is an adult only. I had a swim out there on like the fifth floor. Lovely view. It's also a little bit more of a party resort. Lots of couples, but also, you know, could have singles.
That's right by the Au Naturel Resort, right?
Yes. It's right next to the, right next to Hidden Beach. And you actually sort of have to go around Hidden Beach. The thing about Seaside Suites is, and this is like an important thing, this is actually, you were asking me about it. Seaside Suites, where the rooms, it's very spread out, and there is a spa in the building where the rooms are. There's like a two-story spa, but their main spa is actually in the main building, as are most of their restaurants. So you have to shuttle.
They share with
They share with Sensatori, which is actually now one resort. It's called the Palms. You may see it as it's being changed over, so it would be El Dorado Seaside Suites. The Palms is the old Sensatori. There's one restaurant at the bottom of the main building where you sleep, but then you have to shuttle over to pretty much, you can walk, but especially for the main, the Italian restaurant and the Asian restaurant, they're all the way in the check-in building, and it's a ways away. So I think that, I mean, it was raining while I was there. It was pouring that whole day that I didn't ride the camels. So taking the shuttle was a little bit more of a chore. There was usually people waiting. I didn't have to wait too terribly long ever, but I felt like, especially I was by myself, so I could always sit in the passenger seat at the front where couples were trying to sit together. You know, I was like, I'll just sit in the front here. But, I think there were people who had to wait for two or three shuttles just because, because nobody wanted to walk. But they ran them more frequently. And, I was never really displeased with the service in any way, but it would have been nice to just be able to walk down to a restaurant and eat, and not the same one every day. I did the first morning when it was pouring rain, I just ordered room service for breakfast, and it was prompt and warm and, you know, and tasty. It was all the things it should be. And I'm sure I was not the only person hiding out my room ordering room service that morning. So, you know, thumbs up for the service.
So the Seaside, that's kind of the same setup as Generations, right? The building is the same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. With this, every floor has swim out suites, and they sort of run. And I did get to, when I first got there, I got to get in. And of course, the morning I was leaving, I had to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I opened the window and it's beautiful. The sun is bright blue, and I'm like, oh, I could get in the pool for just a minute, but then I'd have a wet bathing suit to pack. And so so I didn't get to use it nearly as much as I dreamed of using it, but it's really nice. You have a nice sitting area, and there is a gate. So at Generations as well, but also at El Dorado Seaside Suites, where people are drinking, they have a safety gate in front of it. So it's, you'd have to work pretty hard to fall in to the pool. You sort of have to open the gate. And it has a lock on and everything. So it was really nice. And incidentally, after it rained, all the porch furniture was wet, and I left and did my thing. And when they came back to do turn down service, they had toweled everything off. So I went out to see if it had dried, but it was soaking wet, and it had clearly been toweled off, and, you know, things moved around and everything. So yeah, it was nice. The service was fantastic, and the food was you know.
Wasn't the orange juice the best?
It was, all of it was really, the only yeah. thing, I did try a burger because they said, well, we have gourmet burgers, and they know they're like, our beef is not, it's not always the Canadian beef, you know, because it's mm-hmm. expensive, and it has to travel a ways to get there. So gourmet toppings, yes, but the burger was still that sort of mass produced patty that I don't love.
We had a lot of fish, which I'm happy to have. I just remember the fruit being so good. The
fruit was good.
And I loved, did you tour the greenhouse?
No, I didn't. It was the timing. I couldn't do it. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I could have done it, but then I would have missed that spa. And I had to try at least two of the spas, right, Lindsay? Very important.
And that's the thing, too. Casitas has like a sweat lodge spa. They do this like Mayan ritual
yes.
thing that's really cool.
I mean, going to try that, and I actually opted not to. And that's another thing I did. So at El Dorado Royale, I was there. I got there Wednesday, and I was touring all the way through Friday. We had a dinner Friday night. And then Saturday was our checkout day. You could leave any time. Mm-hmm. And I was I was transferring to Seaside Suites. So I put my transfer off until the afternoon, and I was going to spend the morning getting some sort of spa treatment. So I went and just sort of decided, okay, I'm going to do a massage here, and then I'll do some sort of skin treatment at Seaside Suites because research. So I get in there and I'm getting ready, and there was a couple of things that I was not, like, they left me in the sauna, and I sort of had to figure out when to leave. Like, she turned it on and everything, and then she just left, and I was in there too long. I know, because I kept waiting, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna die, so I need to just get out.
And this is not relaxing.
I know anymore. This is not relaxing anymore. I am going to melt. So yeah, there were moments where I just felt like something went wrong. But it was, I mean, overall it was totally fine. So she said, when I get there, do you want your massage inside or outside? And I had walked by the Sky Massage area, and they're pretty much open cabanas. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I want to get out there in my bathrobe. And you have to walk out of the spa and around. And I thought, you know what? You only live once. Why not? I'm here by myself. Nobody here knows me. So I went out, and actually, even though they're very open cabanas, they conserve your modesty very well. Like, they do all sorts of screening and everything just so that you can get under the towel, and then everything's opened up again. So it really was much more open air than any other massage I've ever had. Usually it's a cabana outside, but you know, you've got bamboo walls or whatever, so you feel like you have some privacy. But in this case, you know, but I was way up, you know, they're really high.
Yeah.
So somebody would have really had to be making an effort to look, and it was really lovely. So I definitely, if you're given the choice between inside and outside, outside. And I wasn't sure if it was going to rain, you know, it was looking like it was going to. I'm still,
it's always okay. Risky with those outdoor massages. Yeah. You never know who's going to walk by talking loudly. And
yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to whisper.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't traveling with Sandy, so I knew I was safe.
Elizabeth, which one of them was the best swimming beaches, like, that you could go in the water?
Yeah, you're asking me a beach question. So, because I don't really swim in the ocean, I feel like, gosh.
I feel like the Azores had good beaches.
Well,
Maroma is one of the top-rated beaches.
Yeah, Maroma would probably be where I would go. And it is important to note those overwater bungalows now have this. There's a lot of erosion problems on that coast, and the overwater bungalows now have these big, like, they look like beached whale erosion prevention things around them. So the scenery isn't quite as beautiful as you picture it. It's still lovely to have that room, but it's not, you know, gorgeous. So I would say if I was going to go in the water, I would go to Maroma. And especially on the Palafito side of there's part of the beach that's for any guest of Maroma, but there's part of the beach that's just for the Palafitos. That was really beautiful. That side of the beach was really, really lovely as well. So yeah,
it's that
was, yeah.
There's some people who bought like just pretty water. They don't care about going in. They just want to be in their beach chair and have their drink and look at the pretty water. But there are some people who really do like going in. So
yeah, I would say Maroma would be the place. And it is important to know that a lot of those beaches, especially at Generations, they're building new natural, they're building artificial reefs. So they're sinking these big cement blocks. So right now it looks a little bit like, I mean, you look out and you see cement blocks in various stages of sinking. Some of them they put out there 2 years ago, some 1 year ago. So they're at various, and they don't really look very pretty. So you sort of have to understand when you go that they're really doing their best to preserve, but it, for the moment.
Another thing too is in the past few years, there's been issues with the seaweed. So, which is nothing you can predict. You have no idea when that's going to turn up. But one of the things that they do when they rake it and clean the beach is they use it for compost for the greenhouses there.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on any on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, please visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us at on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Elizabeth, Laura, Sandy, and myself, Lindsay, thank you all for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!